So I was curious and looking for, wondering if there was a name for the Sunday before Palm Sunday. And there actually is one. And it's called the Fifth Sunday. That is the official name of the Sunday before Palm Sunday. So welcome to your Fifth Sunday. And so, again, I always love to remind everyone here in Unity what the Lenten season is all about. It's not looking in your pockets and pulling out any lint from your pockets. And yet, it's similar to that in that it's taking out any of the lint, any of the debris, any of the erroneous thinking from your consciousness. So that you can be new, so that you can rise anew, so that you can evolve. And so all the Sundays, and if you were lucky, I think we are out to get one of these Lenten books or buy the Keep a True Lent. Each and every day is a prayer and an affirmation to keep you moving forward so that you can continue to release and let go. But as you've been going through this journey, if not this Lenten season, in any evolution of any spiritual evolution, have you found that as you continue to move forward and you're on this beautiful spiritual high, you're filled with God, you've raised the veil, and you're riding high, and then all of a sudden, bam. One of the reasons why we're always looking for the other shoe to drop, because something happens. And you're going, what happened? God, I thought we had an agreement, you and I. It was feeling good, and now all of a sudden, the stuff happens. Beloveds, that's a part of the evolution. I said at the 9 o'clock, and I'm looking for members of my class because they had an issue with this word. If you're in my metaphysics class, close your ears, because I'm going to say it. Chemicalization. What? Why did we call it chemicalization? Why did Charles? I don't know. But basically what chemicalization is that point in time when you are trying to release and let go of your old consciousness. Consciousness is the accumulation of all words, thoughts, and feelings and activities that continue to manifest your world today. So now you are releasing, trying to release all that erroneous stuff, trying to erase it, put it away, and bring in something new to fill the void. But of course, the ego or old consciousness doesn't want to let go. And so there's a battle. And it's almost like getting a diamond where, you know, the rough elements keep rubbing against each other. And the good continues to try to move in, but the personality doesn't want to let it. So as you're flying high in spirit and grasping these whole things, these beautiful things, all of a sudden, the ego's like, no, 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 that's not the way to go. This is what we're used to. And so the fifth Sunday is about this. Not necessarily about this, but about the fact that you can overcome any of this. You are an overcomer. Each and every one of you. There's a story on Oprah a long time ago, because Oprah's been gone for a long time, of her show. And it was about this woman by the name of Kelly, a Vietnamese refugees who was orphaned at the age when she was a baby. While she was in Vietnam, she was left on the side of the road by her parents. And for a small amount of time, she was put in an orphanage. And while she was in the orphanage, she was placed in a program, and I should have highlighted it, called the Operation Baby Life, a program that evacuated thousands of babies from Vietnam. And so Kelly was lucky enough to be able to be transported and shipped to the United States, flown from the United States to Vietnam to a new life. And yet, she barely made it. Because in this flight for new life, the plane crashed. 150 people met their demise. Kelly told Oprah, I'm not really sure why I was one of the people to survive. I feel my life has been filled with a lot of second chances. She did make it to the United States, and shortly was blessed with an adoptive family, a beautiful family. By the time she was 12 years of age, the other shoe dropped again. She was found to be diagnosed with leukemia at the age of 12. But this feisty 12-year-old who had overcome being in a deadly airplane crash, who had overcome being abandoned by parents and taken from one culture to another, said that this leukemia was not going to get her down. Actually, as she was with Oprah, she was an adult now, alive, joy-filled, and happy. Kelly, indeed, was an overcomer. And some of you, I know some of you have and are overcoming obstacles just as grand. But even if you haven't overcome something that traumatic, know that each and every element that you are able to overcome, you are an overcomer, because strength doesn't come from what you can do. Strength does not come from recognizing and doing the things that you can already do. It comes from overcoming the things that you once thought that you could not do. Your strength comes from overcoming the things that you knew you couldn't do. You couldn't see how you were going to do it, and yet you did it. See, we enter a new day each and every day once we're filled with the acknowledgement that we too can move forward from any catastrophe, from any sense of separation that we built within us, and not just within us, as us, have the elements and the juice on the spiritual journey to overcome any of the adversity of this sense material life. How many of you recognize that right here, right now, you are a spiritual being? Yeah? Yes. But do we really? I know that a lot of us in Unity, we go, yes, I am a spiritual being. Yeah. I'm a spiritual being. Because it's an interesting quandary, isn't it? Because it's our ego saying, you know what? If you say you're a spiritual being, if you're made of energy and of loving, this loving, pure energy, then what do you need this for? This skin and these bones and all this that we have created. Then you die. So of course, we have these conceptions and misconceptions of what being a spiritual being is. And even though our heart is like, yes, God, I want to be faithful, our bodies are like, well, so it's all right to be like this. But no, that is us too. The more that we release and let go of the sense consciousness that our bodies are made anew, not only are our minds and our thoughts made anew, we create a brand spanking new, beautiful world. And we don't do that unless we recognize where we're at and we move forward to overcome. Charles Fillmore says, spiritual power, mastery, and dominion are attained by the overcomer. Spiritual power, mastery, and dominion are attained by the overpower. Dominion of what? Of your life, of yourselves, of your mind, of your consciousness, of your world. And once you have overcome your world, you are the example for everyone around you, because you will be the one that they come to and say, oh my God, what have you been doing? You look so wonderful. You act so wonderfully. Your life is going so great. Tell me your secret. Have you all gone to that? I've gone to people and said that in my spiritual growth. What are you doing? Is it new makeup, a new hairdo? We always want to go to the outer. But the people who have evolved, the people who just, you can feel it, the Jesuses or the Buddhas or Allah, Muhammad, the ones who walk in, the Dalai Lama, who can walk in and you are totally at peace. You can feel the peace. You can feel the love through them. It isn't an outer shift. It is an inner change of their minds, their thoughts, their feelings that have created a reality within them. And beloveds, it isn't just them that can do it. They too are the examples of what we need to be doing. Not what we just need to be doing. That is our purpose here. They aren't the only ones. Honestly, as beautiful and as much as I love each and every one of them, they're not special. The only reason why they seem special is because they're doing the thing that they need to do. Unlike the rest of us who are continuing to argue and struggle. But beloved, it's all right. We are overcomers. We're spiritual beings made of light. We are whatever we create, and let us create in spirit, just like Jesus did. Let us raise ourselves from the dead to a new life. A couple weeks before Jesus walked into Jerusalem with palms and jackets and things thrown at the ground, so he didn't have to walk on the dirt. Jesus went back to Bethany with his gang called the disciples. And upon getting there, he was told that his best buddy, someone he loved truly, Lazarus, had died. Before he could get into Bethany, he found out. And so I want to read you some of the passages about what being an overcomer is. So when Martha and Mary were Lazarus' sisters. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him while Mary stayed at home. And Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." But with faith, she goes, "But even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." So Jesus said to Martha, "Your brother will rise again." And Martha goes, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus, silly guy. And Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though that they die, will live. Anyone who lives and believes in me will never die." "Do you believe this?" he asked Martha. And basically Martha said, "Yes, Lord. I know you are the Lord and Savior." And so Martha goes back to her house and tells her sister Mary, "The teacher is looking for you." And when Mary hears this, she goes running. And when she meets Jesus, Jesus is at the same place where he left her sister Martha. And it continues. Mary tells Jesus, "Lord," the same thing her sister said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and Mary was followed by Jewish people, when Jesus saw them weeping, he was greatly troubled in spirit and deeply moved. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" Him being Lazarus. And they said, "Lord, come and see." And again, moved, Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of the Jews said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of a blind man have kept this man from dying?" Well, Jesus heard this and became greatly disturbed again. He came to the tomb, and it was a cave, like they did, and there was a stone that was covering it. And Jesus commanded, "Take away the stone." Well, Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already the stench, because he has been dead for 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" And so they took away the stone. And Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. Now I know that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing around here, so they know and may believe that it is you that has sent me." And so when he said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and his feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Talk about overcoming something. Can you imagine being in a cave? Not you yourself, but a corpse. You're bound up. I'm believing that this is sometime, probably in the summertime, because the death of Jesus isn't, as was the birth, isn't completely correct in the Bible. But it's at least springtime, so it's hot in that cave. 4 days bound up. Your body's starting to break down. And yet, Jesus, having the faith and knowing who he is and knowing the power of the word, was able to show that there's an overcoming. Now, metaphysically, Lazarus is each and every one of us. It's said that Lazarus means whom God helps. Within each and every one of us, we have an understanding and a knowing that God helps us. Metaphysically interpreted, Lazarus represents the spiritual strength that comes to man or woman through the recognition of God as the supporting, sustaining power. So within each and every one of us, we have this supportive, sustaining power that will move us beyond the death of the consciousness that is within us, will move us beyond any hurts and any pains that we place within ourselves, any erroneous thinking that we think of ourselves or that we allow others to place within us. There's a strength and a power within us that believes that God can lift us up out of the dead, out of the erosion, out of the crypt of our own consciousness to regenerate us back to life. And so the tools of which Jesus is the example of us being able to do this is in several lines. First thing he did, what was the first thing after he said, "I am the resurrection"? Well, let's use that. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection." What does that indicate to you? A knowing of his own power, the knowing of his own truth, the knowing of God's presence and the connection of him being the conduit of God's will of good to move in and through for any seeming miracle to manifest. And once he goes to the tomb, he has an authority, doesn't he? He has a faith that no matter what is happening, that God will never let him down, because he also knows that this connection, that God's help is always there. And because God's help is always there, he moves forward with thank you. Thank you, God. Now he goes into a teacher mode, because I find that line really interesting. Okay, God, you know me. You know that I know that you're hearing me, but I'm going to speak these things just so other people can understand. But he just says, "Thank you, God, for using me for the gifts." In every miracle that he does, Jesus pretty much has the same formula, recognizing who and whom he is, recognizing that he has the power within him to bring forth these miracles of healing, of abundance, and now raising of the dead, which is interesting, which is a precursor of his own death and rising. And then he moves into a prayer and a gratitude. He fills himself up with the gratitude of the knowing of whose he is, and he moves forward. The next thing he does, what does he do? He speaks the truth right in. He says, "Lazarus, get up." The ill man, the man who could not walk, pick up your bed and walk. He speaks it in the truth, and because he speaks it into reality, it becomes a manifestation of truth. The next thing he says and he commands is that we are bound. Know these things of ourselves, and most importantly, unbind ourselves. Unbind our hands so our hands can be used for truth. Unbind our feet so that they can walk the ground of understanding of God's truth. Untake the bandages from our eyes so that we can see, and then from our mouths so that we can speak the truth, so that we can no longer live in a place of death and ailment, but that we too can and will resurrect. Why? Because we are overcomers. We can overcome anything that comes in front of us. So long as we know who we are and whose we are, we will overcome anything. Because it is not what you have done, it is what you have overcome that brings strength to you. So as we go forward on our spiritual journey, what are the spiritual truths that allow us to move forward? There are several formulas. I'm just going to give you three. They're my favorite formulas. One, to be on your spiritual journey, to move forward, to evolve as a spiritual being, you must be a risk taker. That's something that a lot of us don't want to do. We like to stay in our lane, doing the things that we want to do, whether we realize that it's for our good, for our bad, but we know what's coming. We don't want to risk the unknown. Jesus was a risk taker. Jesus was always stepping in, and when other people were saying, you can't do that, saying, yes, I can. Are you a risk taker? Do you step out and follow God, even when it's not what you feel in the moment? It's not in your natural flow, and the people around you are looking at you like you're crazy. Do you still dare to dream? Dare to dream big dreams, no matter what. Secondly, be a visionary. You have to be able to, and we went through imagination as one of the Sundays, being able to see greatness. Too many times here in this world, we only see the darkness. We don't envision anything beyond. Well, we are visionaries. We're envisioning, and most of us are always talking about how bad things are getting, how they're getting worse, versus envisioning, no matter who's in office, no matter what's happening in the world, no matter what destruction the world is going through, envisioning not the darkness, but envisioning the beautiful life of God right here, right now, envisioning light, envisioning love, envisioning greatness. And then those things will manifest. Just as we're envisioning the dark things and it's manifesting, it's time for us to all turn around, do an about face, look and be the visionaries of greatness, of the truth, of what this world is really all about, not the illusion of darkness. Do you live for what is in the here and now, the truth of the here and now, and see that coming forth? Third, this is my favorite. Be outrageous. Yes. I mean, if you really read the Bible, Jesus was an outrageous, radical guy. He really was. He had the nerve to believe that he could perform miracles, even when other people, the high priest and the law of the land said, you can't do this, and how dare you do this? He was outrageous enough to believe, yes, I can, and yes, I will. And we are not going to just adapt and get scared and allow our ego to look at, like, and say, well, yeah, you know, Reverend Crystal, in the next couple of days, you're going to tell us why we don't want to be outrageous like that, because he got killed. But his death was a death of an old life, of the material world. We are moving forward to grow a new life, to be able to embrace the Christ of the truth of who we are. Be outrageous enough to have your dreams and to believe that you can do it. Know that you are an overcomer. Know that if you believe, you will achieve. So believe that you will, so that you will achieve the best. And so, for this week, and let us say our weekly affirmation. This week's affirmation, let's together I stand strong in the faith that God's Spirit within me is my strength and confidence. I am an overcomer. Let's soak that in. One more time, let's say that together. I stand strong in the faith that God's Spirit within me is my strength and confidence. I am an overcomer. Yes, you are. Amen.